Fierce Femme Media.
We'll just do it
because what else are we gonna do? It's Friday night and I don't have a life.
Neither. I'm here with you.
Yeah, right on. That's the only great place to be. The Stacey's having to ditch us again. Womp womp. Sigh.
Oh, I did watch 2 movies. We can talk about that.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the weekly hangout with Aaron and Jackie. I'm Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
And I'm Aaron, the geeky gal pal.
I'm drinking beer tonight. I went to Napa yesterday. I drank wine all day. So I was like, I'm going to switch it up today. So.
What one are you drinking? Just beer?
I should have grabbed the can, but I had already tossed in the recycling. So I'll tell you, it's good. It's a blood orange ale and it's delicious. But
that's exciting because
I don't remember the name of it
as well.
Oh, are you?
I'm drinking Big Storm Bromosa. It's a IPA.
Bromosa. Dude.
It's really fucking good. I love it. It's dude, so good.
Are you broing out?
I'm totally broing out, man. It's so fucking good.
What are you doing with your voice? What is that?
Hang 10. I don't know. Isn't that like a bro voice?
Why did you tell me this, man? Like, what is that?
It's like a California voice.
Oh, that's a California voice?
I don't know.
That's your impression of a Californian?
Stereotypical, I know. What do you think, girl? Like, oh my God.
It's not a thing either.
It is a thing.
It's not.
There's a whole show based on it.
What show?
The Hills.
The Hills?
Yeah. I don't fucking know, Jackie.
Your impression of Californians is completely based off The Hills?
Actually, know what my Californians.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
SNL. The SNL sketch. The Californians. Let's not talk about it anymore.
You know several Californians. You
base your I'm saying like my past stereotypes. I mean,
okay. I've
covered those up.
Okay.
It's no longer. I brought out the bro voice. I regret it.
I don't hold Floridians equal to you.
Well, no shit. I don't hold. I mean, I would hope not. Jesus Christ. I mean, I am not a fucking idiot. I mean, sometimes. I would say a good 98% of the time, I'm pretty level-headed. I'm not a Floridian.
That's true. I'll give you that.
I would say I'm 100% not a Floridian, but there are times when I act like an idiot. So,
really, like 100%?
Yeah, I'm not. No. No.
You don't think you're like 10% Floridian?
What'd you say?
You don't think you're like 10% Floridian?
No, fuck no. Don't put that evil on me.
What? There's no good people in Florida? There's not like 10% of the people in Florida are good? You see what I'm doing to you? Do you see?
I'm going to say no. Only me and Gail and Katie and Matt.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're not going to defend Matt Gaetz?
Fuck no. Fuck that.
Ron DeSantis?
You know what? Ron DeSantis, he could take a swift kick to the nuts on national TV and I would buy a donkey.
I would pay pay-per-view to watch him get eaten by an alligator in Florida.
100%.
I wouldn't even like split it with you. I'd be like, no, we're all paying for it.
No, we're all paying for it. Yeah. I'd have a pay-per-view party,
yeah.
But I'd make everybody pay for it too.
And then we can use all that money and like retire that alligator and let him live in like luxury forever. Yeah.
Forever.
Like no zoo for that guy.
I can't even imagine the Ron DeSantis size shit that would come out of it, but I would be so thrilled to never have to look at that motherfucker's face ever again or hear his dumb voice.
Yeah.
I had no idea I had that much hate in my life, but I do.
Just so, you know, much.
Florida has made me realize a couple things. One, a lot there are a lot of idiots here. A lot. But two, I have never hated politicians more than I do here. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I mean, I didn't like Pence, but.
I think Ron DeSantis is like, he's like the Ted Cruz of Florida, maybe worse.
Worse, for sure.
You think DeSantis is worse than Ted Cruz?
Yeah. But maybe it's a tie. I don't know. I mean, the only benefit is that Ron DeSantis's decisions only affect Floridians, while Ted Cruz's affect a lot of Americans because he's, you know, a senator.
Yeah.
So.
Both maybe. Terrible humans.
Yeah, really, literally. Let's do alligator eating them both.
Oh, okay.
I'm in. And Matt Gaetz. Throw Matt Gaetz in there.
Yeah, I mean, a threefer. We could do a threefer.
Actually, you know what? I want Matt Gaetz to go to prison.
Yes, my only fear is the justice system is going to fail and he will serve zero time.
Oh my God. That will be a fucking tragedy.
But likely. So this week, listen, there's been a lot of shootings going on. Mm-hmm. You guys are inundated with shooting coverage and we're not gonna do that to you because one, it's fucking horrible. It's horrible all the way around. Like I don't even think we have the words to describe how disappointing the shootings are. There's only so many times we can say we have to do something about police, how many times we can say we have to do something about gun control. There's been 45 mass shootings, and mass shootings are anybody where four or more people, not including the gunmen, have been hurt, injured, or killed since March 16th, which is horrific. So instead of talking about that, we're going to give you guys a break, and we're going to talk about movies that we have watched. And it's not because we don't care, but everyone needs reprieves from that kind of content once in a while. And I have a feeling if you still listen to us after 200 episodes, which is how long we've been on, we're already preaching to the choir about it. So, I mean, honestly,
really, we've weeded it out.
Yeah. I don't know how many times we have to watch a black man get killed by police officers for doing virtually nothing, and how many times we have to watch a white guy who literally like was threatening cops and trying to run them over not get shot. Like it's just right. It's not that cops don't know how to control themselves, it's that there's some internal bias in there, and I'm not even saying that all cops are intentionally do it. I think it's a built-in caked-in bias that they have that makes them react accordingly. I mean, some may be blatant,
right?
But some may just be pure racism. I mean, they're all racist, but I don't know that all of them are aware of their racism or their implicit bias. I would like right. to think that they're not all aware of it. And
yeah, I do. Like, if you're being trained by someone who's a racist, even if you're not a racist at all, you're going to pick up some of the same techniques and ways that a person or a cop deals with a black suspect or a brown suspect. And it's really sad to think that there are people out there that are training other people. It's the same way when a parent raises a kid, a racist parent raises a kid, the kid's probably going to be racist. Like it's unless they can beat that cycle of hate. And it's sad, but I just feel like you, like you said, you pick up those biases and you don't even necessarily mean to, it just happens.
Well, some of it's systemic sad. Too, right? Like mm-hmm. Oh, you have sure. to actively, as a white person, you have to actively make conscious decisions to try to fight your own implicit bias, because the culture we grow up in, how often are we shown that black people are the enemy or are dangerous or are frightening mm-hmm. or are scary, or all of these things are in our culture constantly. So if you don't actively try to deprogram yourself and right. create a new interpretation of reality or of the world, then no matter how good your training is, I mean, white people who aren't even cops act on it. It's as easy as grabbing your purse if you see a black person, or crossing the street because you see a black person, or all of these things, because racism is so baked into our consciousness and our society. When you're then given a gun and told you can act on it with pretty much immunity, those biases become deadly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough. I know this saying's like cliche now, but it's not enough just not to be like, think you're not racist. You have to work at being anti-racist. And mm-hmm. that takes reprogramming. Mm-hmm. It just does. You have to unlearn things that you have always just been second nature to you. And it's fucking hard. It's mm-hmm. hard.
It's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard. And it's standing up then to your possibly racist friends and everything else. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't stand up for themselves anyway. And then when they have to stand up for themselves because now they decided that they don't really hate the same people that their friends hate. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just, I mean, I hate to say that that's like a good reason. That's not a good reason, but mm-hmm. it's hard to break that cycle of just the way you've been programmed, just like you said.
Well, absolutely. And it's like, it goes beyond just hating another person too, because I don't necessarily think that all those cops hate black people. I think it's the subtlety of immediately being afraid of black people, because you've been taught through media, through conversations, through our own bullshit history, that they are threatening to you, which isn't the case.
Right.
And also not, I mean, there are some white men and they're incredibly dangerous. There are some black men that are dangerous. There are some white women that are but black,
there's dangerous people of every color.
Exactly. But we have to stop perceiving, why can cops disarm and arrest without violence a white guy who is actively trying to kill them?
Right.
But they can't even give a speeding ticket to a black guy who has his hands on the wheel. Like those are the kinds of things that it's like, how have we gotten there?
Right.
I think it's because there are certain groups of people that we give passes to, like we don't hold them accountable for their implicit bias the way we do other people. And we don't do that because if you start questioning cops' behavior, then everybody immediately jumps on you that you're anti-cop. And I'm not anti-cop. I have 6 fucking cops in my family. I'm not anti-cop. I'm anti-police killing black people. Like, that's what I'm against. And if we don't start, if police departments don't start recognizing that bias that's built into us from day one, they're never going to solve this problem. And I mean, you saw it with that female cop that grabbed her gun instead of her taser and shot and killed that man. You could hear it in her voice immediately that she was remorseful for killing that, mm-hmm. shooting that guy. And I'm not giving her a pass at all.
Yeah.
100% not giving her a pass. But she acted on a level of fear that was implicit in her.
Right.
And that's what has to be trained out. That's what they have to fight against. That's what they have to be willing to examine themselves. And if you consider yourself not a racist, you should be actively trying to undo those things in yourself so that you don't end up in a situation where you're causing undue harm to someone simply because your fear kicks in before your common sense does.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's real interesting that this woman was immediately, she's getting charged with second degree manslaughter, which she should.
So fast.
She should though. I'm not saying she shouldn't, but we have to sit through a whole fucking trial for the guy who killed George Floyd when billions of people watched him kneel on his neck for 9 minutes. Like, get the fuck out of here with that. It's because she's a woman.
Yes, it is because she's a woman. And it makes me so sad that she is a woman. I was like, God damn it. Like, now it's going to be women shouldn't be cops, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, that's not it at all. That has nothing to do with it. Like, she was in that position for, 26 years? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
It just, and then that, then we had, we, you know, we go back to that that video of the Chicago police, the shooting that 13-year-old. Like, he wasn't even black. Mm-mm. Like, it's just that idea that you can act like that, a cop can kill you no matter what, is mm-hmm. what it feels like. That's what it feels like, is that a cop will kill you no matter what. That kid's hands were in the air and he had no gun and he still got shot and he killed. And he still got shot and he was killed. Like, it's just sad and it's upsetting. And it's the idea that, like, yes, I do believe we need police officers, but does every police officer need to have a gun? No. Every single police officer does not need to have a fucking gun. And there may be certain areas that need to have guns, like SWAT team and different people that come in for, like, you know, hostage situations, things like that. Sure. Yes. 100%. But does every cop that makes a, you know, a pullover, does he have to have a gun? Maybe not. And that's maybe not, maybe the only reason they do is because so many people have guns now.
Yes. Yeah. You never know, like, who's actually carrying a gun in their car, which is why they do.
And that's, in my mind, the ultimate issue.
I know, we could go round and round and round about it. Yeah.
Right.
It's, we're failing the people, cops are failing the people that they're supposed to protect, and police departments are failing cops, and citizens fail the police department. And we just, like, we go round and round and round, and because nobody wants to do the hard work of saying what we've been doing isn't working. And we have to do better. And it's not, and I'm not saying all cops are bad. I don't subscribe to the idea that all cops are bastards. I don't.
No, neither.
I understand people's inclination to feel that way, especially if you grew up in certain neighborhoods or with certain, I lived a very privileged life. I always have. I don't have the same life experience with police officers that so many people do. So I understand the impulse to feel that way, because they've never had a good interaction with a police officer. Because I have so many in my family, I have. So I feel like when we're not pressing them to not just train better, but be better humans, we're failing them. They should be going, I'm not just talking about learning how to disarm someone, like, without using a chokehold. I'm talking about they need to go through training to dismantle the racism that's built into our society. That's what we have to start focusing on. And it's fucking hard. It hurts. Mm-hmm. Because you have to realize, when you start reading these books and taking in this information and watching these videos and really learning about what we have done, what white people have done over the last, I don't know, millennium.
Right.
It hurts, because you realize, even if you didn't realize you were actively participating in it, you've benefited from it. And you thought you were doing the right thing when you haven't been this whole time. Like, it's a hard thing to face.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
But it's the only solution. I don't see any other way around it.
I agree.
Until cops can get rid of that gut instinct that a black person is more dangerous than a white person, and that's why they kill or shoot, we're never going to get over this.
Mm-mm.
Unintentional racism is still racism.
Right.
And it has to be addressed.
Right.
So we weren't going to talk about it, but there we went. So
no, it's hard to shut us up. I mean, let's be real.
I actually watched two movies this week. I watched Thunder Force with Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer.
I did too.
Did you? What'd you think of it?
I want to watch it again for a couple of reasons. One, it was while Gene was here, so I was a little tipsy, I'm not going to lie. Two, I always love Melissa McCarthy movies, but I didn't love this one.
Okay.
And I think it's partly because I was just, let's be real, I wasn't tipsy, I was drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. So I truly think that I will like it when I sit down and watch it again. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was very, like, clever, and I love that it was two females, and I love that it was, you know, Octavia Spencer is fucking hilarious in it, I think. And I thought Melissa McCarthy was hilarious too. But, like, I can't pick out my favorite part. Although I love Jason Bateman with fucking lobster claws. Like, that was hilarious. Yeah. Like, and now when I saw the blooper reel, I was like, okay, like, because it's out now on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy released it on her Instagram. So I'm like, it's funny. It's just funny. So I didn't love it like I love Life at the Party. Life at the Party is one of my favorite.
Oh yeah. That's movies. So funny.
Yes. But I did enjoy it. I don't know how you feel about it.
I thought it was hilarious. Like, genuinely, genuinely funny. I feel differently about Octavia Spencer. So I love Melissa McCarthy I think her physical humor is so fucking funny.
Oh my god.
Jason Bateman is always hilarious to me.
Right.
And I love Octavia Spencer. I don't think she's funny though. So I felt like she wasn't the right counterpart for Melissa in that movie. I the woman who played her daughter, I thought was very good, very, very funny.
Right.
But I just didn't, I felt like Octavia Spencer was a little bit out of place the whole time with it. And I don't know if it's just because Melissa's so like physically funny.
Yeah.
Because I know Octavia's funny.
Right.
But not the same way Melissa McCarthy is. So I don't know. I would have loved to see, gosh, I can't think of her name. She was in Ghostbusters with them.
Oh, Leslie Jones.
Yes. I think Leslie Jones would have been fantastic in that.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I think Octavia was funny and why I laughed often.
Oh, I laughed through the whole movie.
Well, you're right. Like, but I feel like she was not supposed to be that way. Mm. She was supposed, the role she played was the role she was supposed to play. Like,
yeah.
That kind of like more tight, like straight laced a little bit because she was like the smarty pants of the
whole. Sure.
You know, so I feel like that. And like, even when they were kids.
Them trying to get out of the car.
Oh my God.
That was like some of my favorite parts of the movie. Cause
it was definitely
so funny.
It was good. And I just love the fact that this was by Melissa McCarthy and Ben Falcone's like their like production company together. And I like that everything they do together. That's one thing that I really enjoy too about their movies is like, it's always them.
I guess I see Octavia Spencer kind of like I do like Viola Davis. Like they're such phenomenal actresses and like Oscar performances.
Right.
That it's hard for me to get into them in like like the slapstick kind of comedy settings.
Well, even like in Justice League with Viola Davis, Suicide Squad.
Yeah. It was a little bit.
Like what? I love that she's in there and great, but I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I thought Sandra Bullock was a good like counterweight to Melissa McCarthy because she has such a deadpan sense of humor.
Right. And,
like she pulls off funny in a way that is naturally funny. Where I don't know. I think Octavia Spencer is a phenomenal actress.
Oh my God. She's hard for me to like get behind. One of the best of our generation. Yeah.
For sure. It's hard for me to see her with Melissa McCarthy and think she's equally as funny.
Right. Well, but
Heat's my favorite Melissa McCarthy movie.
I fucking love The Heat too. That one and Life of the Party are probably tied for me because I cannot handle her Boston family. I can't handle
it. It's so good.
I love the part where, when they first meet the family, that's like my favorite scene in any movie, maybe ever. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much. And I often quote the mom when she's like, "What kind of an animal?" It's our own brother in jail. Like, I just fucking love that movie. That movie's so good. So her and Sandra Bullock together are fucking phenomenal. Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I can see what you mean about Octavia, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe part of my issue with the movie is that they really weren't, like, you know.
They don't have the on-screen chemistry, I guess, that... Yeah. I don't know that I think Melissa and Jason Bateman have way better on-screen chemistry.
Like in Identity Thief? Are you kidding me?
And I don't know what it is because you can tell in the bloopers that Octavia and Melissa are friends. Like they clearly get along.
Right.
I don't know. It was just like the on-screen chemistry that was just kind of off for me that I don't know.
Well, maybe you're right. Like, I mean, here we have Octavia who's been in so many Oscar-worthy movies, right? Like Oscar winner, she is one of the best actresses of our generation, right? Like, and then she comes into this movie that is so like completely crazy, absolutely slapstick. So maybe it didn't gel for her either. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know for sure, but
I thought it was very funny though. Like, I loved it.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was funny.
What else you watch this week?
So I'll be honest, I kind of went back into the archives. I really wanted to find a movie to watch that was gonna like calm me down. So I watched Paul, and I know you haven't seen it. Mm-mm. Paul is one of my very favorite movies when I wanna just kind of like relax, because it is so fucking funny. It is so funny, it is so well done. It's about these two guys from London that come over to go to Comic-Con. And then after Comic-Con, they're going to go and do a road trip to all the alien spots throughout the Western United States. So they go to, you know, they go to
Roswell.
Yeah, they go to Roswell. They stop in Area 51. They mm-hmm. go to the black mailbox. Like, they do the whole thing. And while they're doing this, there's an actual alien that the government has been holding captive. He escapes, and they end up meeting up with him, and then they kind of help him get to where he needs to go to, like, go home. A little like E.T., but better. And Seth Rogen is the voice of the alien, and it makes me laugh so hard because in it, Kristen Wiig's in it, and she comes in and she's a very religious, like, super Christian woman, and she has, like, on a t-shirt that's like, it says, like, evolve this, and it's Jesus shooting Charles Darwin in the head.
Oh my god.
It's literally so fucking funny. Her transformation in it is just awesome, because it really is about, like, I'm a man of science, like, I'm a woman of science, like, I don't really subscribe to the whole religious thing. And I know, I feel like we've talked about that before, just the idea behind religion as a whole, you know, that sort of thing. So it kind of, like, brought it all home to me again. And it's really nice to sit down and watch a movie that you've seen in the past, and then you watch again and kind of, like, resonates in a whole new way. So
do you believe in UFOs?
100%. Yes. Yeah. I do believe there's life out there. Whether or not it's alien, invasion movies are one of my favorite movies. Okay. Independence Day. Love it. All right. Love Independence Day.
Me too. I love Independence Day.
Oh my God. Love it.
Give me 1990s Will Smith any fucking day. Yeah.
Any day.
Yeah.
Any day. Right. But I also love, like, Signs. Signs is one of my favorite movies.
Mm.
Like, I just feel like anytime. Really? Yes. Oh, Live, Die, Repeat with Tom and what's her name? Blunt. Emily Blunt. Any movie where there's an alien invasion, where they're going to take over the earth and kill us all. 100% love it. Mm. And where we went in the end. Love it. I love it.
I do believe that aliens exist, which actually surprises a lot of people, because I think people think I'm real rational, but I think the rational reasoning is that aliens exist, because I think it's terribly arrogant of humans to think we're the only life out there 100%. In the trillions of endless galaxies that right. exist in the infinite mass of the space. Like, how could you not think we're the only intelligent life that has ever evolved right. into beings? I can't. The rational part of me doesn't allow to think that, because I can't imagine that this is it. I think there's multiple planets that are like Earth. I think there are probably multiple species that resemble us. I don't know if they look like us exactly, but yeah, I 100% think that aliens exist, which is maybe why I've always been such a big fan of, like, the superhero comics and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Because I think, yeah, like, why wouldn't they? I don't know if they're, like, little green Martians or whatever, right. but
yeah, like, they probably don't look like Paul. Like, big alien.
But they hat. Might. I don't know. It's so dependent on, like, atmospheric pressures and influences. I mean, when you think about it, humans are really actually pretty shitty species to live on this planet. Like, we have to live in kind of ideal weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We have to sustain on water, which 70% of the planet is covered in it, but we can't drink salt water.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a thing. We're prone to eat animal life, which, if we kill off all the animal life, which is one of our food sources, the planet would die. Mm-hmm. Our skin burns. It gets too cold. Like, we're actually not set up real well to live on this planet.
No, we're not.
So, yeah, I fell down a rabbit hole once when I was in my... got it was in my early 20s, and I picked up a book. I was on the aircraft carrier, and we were doing so when you go from, like, we were on our way to the Persian Gulf, and because we were going there so fast, I was going there in 2002, so it was like we were heading over there for the actual war. So we were passing through time zones and, like, the international dateline and everything really fast. So we had, like, 6 days where we couldn't do a lot because we couldn't fly or anything because of how fast we were going. So I went and picked up this book from the library, and it kind of did this, like, deep dive into, I wish I could remember the name of it. the idea that humans were actually like the initial human species was a cast off as like a prisoner island for a different alien planet. It was supposed to be punishment because we aren't suitable to actually live on this planet. Like you have to, we have to build shelter. We have to, like, there's all of these things that we have to overcome and to even survive on this planet. We're not easily adaptable. Humans are very poor at reproduction. Like women have a ton of miscarriages. They're actually only able to get pregnant like 24 days out of the year. Like there's all of these things that add up to, should we even be here? Because you look at like animals and stuff, animals can survive when it's, you know, 5 degrees outside, when it's 105 degrees outside, like all of these elements, they're better equipped to exist here than we are.
And the only reason that they cease to exist is because of humans.
Because we're the world's worst predator. Yeah, we're the world's heaviest predators.
So when we weren't out during the pandemic, Earth was healing itself. Okay.
Full circle.
All right. Good night, everybody. No.
It was actually an interesting like perspective on it. Like, because we are poorly equipped to survive. There are certain parts of the planet that humans can't even live on, like the North Pole. Yeah. Humans can't exist there.
Right.
We couldn't exist in the desert without aid and shelter. And, you know, we have to have like ideal conditions to survive, mm-hmm. which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, it was a weird, I was like, huh, I wonder if, who knows? I don't know. I wasn't around when people became people. Sure wasn't.
I mean, right? when I start thinking about like alien life, my, like, obviously the same way that systemic racism exists, like I'm afraid of aliens because every movie I watch is them taking over, right? Like, so I'm like, I feel like just the opposite of that is probably true. Mm-hmm. Like if there was an alien invasion, I don't think it would be an invasion per se. It would be more so like, you know, it would be friendly. I would hope. Oh my God. It could be not friendly. I don't know. This is where my brain just goes into like, you're fucked mode. You know what I mean? Like, I get real nervous thinking God, you're about.
Such a doomsdayer.
I really am. I can't believe I don't have a fucking bunker with like cans of beans and, you know, like bags of rice and shit. I cannot believe that I don't have that, but I don't. I really don't.
Not that you tell us anyway.
Well, I mean, Florida, you can't really have a like an underground bunker in Florida. No. It'd be full of water.
You and You'd Phil the alligator? Yeah.
I can have a canoe down there.
Humidity would kill you.
Oh my God. Fuck that. I'd have to shave my head. I don't know.
Like the start of every alien movie.
Right.
Some girl shaving her head. Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver. Watch out. Like, I don't know. Like, I really am a total like catastrophic thinker. Like my anxiety. I know. Hmm. But if we get an alien invasion, we're all dead. Just letting you know.
For sure. Yeah, we're all fucked completely.
They're gonna be smarter, they're gonna be better equipped, they're gonna be ready, they're gonna probably be able to live in the desert and Antarctica. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna be able to do all these things that we're not able to do. They're also probably gonna have like far superior weapons and
but you're also making the assumption thinking. That other assumption you're making and that like alien movies make is that every species is prone to violence the way we are. Agreed. And I don't know if that's true. I think we're probably not a very evolved species in the grand scheme of things. And I don't think every existence out there, every living creature out there lives to torment and wipe out everything else.
You look at the movie like Avatar, like they're obviously on the planet Pandora and there's all these different, obviously all the Na'vi, there are all these different tribes. Like, they are very peaceful and love nature and don't kill unless they need to sort mm-hmm. of thing. It's very much like almost like in like the indigenous people, you know, sort of environment. Like, it's very much that aspect. I don't know if that's real. I mean, James Cameron is, you know, sort of a genius when it comes to that, but I truly believe that may be the case on their planet. But what if they decide to come to our planet?
Oh, we'd try to kill them.
Right. And then 1,000%. They would be like, fuck you. We're going to kill you because right. They're better. They're right. You know,
because we would have shot first.
Yeah.
Because we're assholes.
We really are.
And we think we're entitled to whatever everything. The fuck we want. Yeah.
Right.
We take and take and take and take until there's nothing left. Yeah, we're terrible. Humans are fucking terrible species.
Right? Like, God, legitimately, I'm like, we're terrible. So yeah. Depressed now. Fuck me, man. I don't know. What other movies did you watch?
I'm trying to think of the name of it now, and I can't. I had it a few minutes ago, and now I've completely blanked on it.
What was it about?
I don't remember. Who was in it? I can't remember now.
Wow, we're a load of fun tonight. I know. I'm watching old 19 or 2001 movies. And what other? Oh, I did rewatch, speaking of Melissa McCarthy, which we did earlier, I rewatched Spy.
Recently. Oh, I love Spy.
Spy is very funny as well, if anybody would like to watch that movie. did you obviously watch the. The SNL sketch about the lesbian period drama.
You guys, listen, if you haven't watched this yet, it's so worth the 3 minutes.
It's so good.
When they do the whole thing about like, well, no, it wasn't good, but I'm gonna watch it because there's lesbians, like that is the most accurate fucking thing. Like, I just feel like Kate McKinnon wrote that whole thing.
The whole thing.
Because it's so fucking accurate. I never felt so heard as like a gay woman my whole life. Like it's so good. Like the subtle hand touching and why does every lesbian movie have to take place in like 1800 where there's like disease and famine everywhere and a husband that's like
controlling
human. Right. Yeah. Like there's all of these things where you're just like, oh my God, this is so fucking spot on. Right. Like, can we just get a lesbian movie where they're just lesbians? Like, does it have to be a whole thing?
Yeah, no, we'll never get that. We'll never fucking get it. Oh, and can we do it from 2020? Nope.
When they said being played by two straight women, it was like, who will end up with like Academy Award nods just because they're making out with a woman. Like, bitch, you know every time you get a little too much tequila in a straight woman, they're making out with their gay best friend. Like,
100%.
Please. Oh like, my God. That shit was so funny.
And I know it was like based on Ammonite. Like, but like, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, it's just so accurate because even though I really loved Ammonite, it sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about it, like, if it wasn't two women, it would fucking blow. You wouldn't have watched it. Yeah. I would not have watched it. I've been like, what the fuck is this dumb fucking movie? Like, there's no music. There's so much. There's like no sound. Oh my God, sound.
The picking up rocks. Oh!
Like, where why? She's like,
I taught her that. Yeah. Shit was so funny.
It was like seriously perfect because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because Ammonite, fuck that movie. Like, I love it because it's fucking Kate Winslet, but I'm like, I don't know why I love this movie because
it's about gay women. That's it. That's the only reason we don't get a lot. We take really whatever scraps are thrown to us.
We take scraps. God.
Always.
That's about our trauma bonds.
Listen, look at the like following Rizzoli and Isles had all because the whole plot line was just like written to like give a nod in the direction that there could be more. And they never did any. And I legitimately like that show. Like, I thought they were funny. They had great on-screen chemistry. But you hang on watching it because you're like,
just in case
anything happens. Yeah.
Listen, I watched 7 seasons of Once Upon a Time just in case Emma and Regina made out. Just
did
in case.
Did you really think that was going to happen?
There was a part of me that was convinced it was going to happen because I'm telling you, the Tumblr world that existed for Swan Queen was ridiculous. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, I just can't even begin to just, it still exists. If you were to go onto Tumblr right now,
I will not.
You will find.
I won't.
Hashtag Swan Queen.
I will not do that.
Come on. Let's do it together. Nope. Let's share your screen. Come on, Jackie. It is seriously, it is deep. It is so deep. And the thing that was crazy is that people literally sat there and dissected why, what, where, when, all the episodes, like this all leads to, like, Emma had a tattoo, which means, and Regina was supposed to be with someone who had a tattoo, so that meant they weren't going to be together. To be completely honest, if you were to watch it all from start to finish, or at least the first two seasons, you would be like, they're going to end up together, because it really did all point to them ending up together, which would have been really great if you think about it, that the evil queen was going to end up with the white knight that was supposed to break the curse. Like, it was supposed to be amazing, right? Like, that would be amazing.
They did not end up together.
And actually, I think the actresses hate each other now because of the rabid fans that Swan Queen had.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there was all the stuff that happened during, like, all these stupid cons. And it was like, one of them was Regina and Jennifer Morrison. Or so, Lana Priya and Jennifer Morrison, which were Regina and Emma, they were at this con together, and someone in the fans stood up and asked if they were ever going to get together. And Jennifer Morrison was basically like, no, they're not, like, they're not going to get together. And then, like, Lana was like,
ABC family or whatever. Like, that's
what was ABC. Yeah. So the likelihood was slim. Right. But we were at a time when maybe it was possible. Right. Like, so it was like, maybe. But
they
then,
didn't have to show a sex scene or something, but
no, right. Like, just at the end, they got married, whatever, you know, like, it would have been great, you know, but it didn't happen. But, like, Lana Priya was so for it. Like, she was so pro Swan Queen. So she was like, I would do whatever the writers wanted me to do, basically. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer Morrison was like, no, absolutely not. And I was like, oh my God, when I first watched that, like, on YouTube, because someone filmed it and I watched it because I was very obsessed. I was just like, oh my God, J-Mo hates gays. Like, she does not like the gays. So it just became this big thing where they, like, ended up not ever, they barely filmed scenes together toward the end. And if there were scenes together, sometimes they had a stand in.
Do you think that she actually hates the gays, or was just like,
I think she's really gay.
Or do you think she was just like, guys, this isn't going to happen. Stop.
No, I really think that something happened between her and Lana, because
who's Lana?
Lana Priya.
Oh, okay.
Regina. So like, when you see,
oh,
like,
I can't wait to hear this. What do you actually?
So when you,
I'm
see,
so
like,
glad we're recording for this. And this just wasn't one of your weird, like, diatribes.
I know, right? So way back when they first started filming.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously, the actors all hung out together all the time, right? And there was all these people, like, always taking videos of them and, like, sharing pictures and yada yada. So, like, there were videos that surfaced of them, like, obviously being very close and, like, I don't want to say holding hands, but they were, like, always touching and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there was a video of them, like,
I love a good lesbian, like, undercover.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Right. And there was, like, all these things about them, like whispering each other in each other's ears and all this, and like, they weren't in a club, they were standing on, like, the side of the road, and like, someone filmed it, and like, it became like all this lesbian propaganda, and everybody was like, oh my God, they're having sex, like, this is amazing. And then, like, when this became like such a big thing, like, Swan Queen became so big, they introduced Captain Hook. And Captain Hook became Emma's love interest, and then it was like all of that stopped. Their friendship stopped. They were never seen on screen together, really. They never were on, like, TV shows together. It was almost as if something happened between them, and the writers had to, like, fix that. Like, it was so weird. It was so interesting. And I know I'm, like, being a complete fucking nut job right now, but, like, it was so crazy to watch the sequentially what had happened between them, because they were on all these interviews together. They were always super close, always laughing and talking together. They would always sit right next to each other, always take pictures together. And then all of a sudden it was like, it stopped. Like, something fucking happened.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
Something happened. I'm pretty sure some vagina licking happened, and I am for it.
Or at least some heavy petting.
I feel like it may have gone all the way.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is Jennifer Morrison married?
No, but at the time, Lana was engaged, and then she later did get married, and now she's divorced. And J-Mo is not married, but she's in a relationship right now. At the time, Jennifer Morrison was actually dating Sebastian Stan, who is, you know, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
why the fuck do I remember all this?
It's very impressive. I mean, it's very impressive.
I cannot even describe to you the amount of hours I spent.
I can do this with Taylor Swift, so you're not. Don't be embarrassed.
I mean, to be completely honest, Breaking Down Our Walls was a Swan Queen fan fiction to start with. Like, it was 100% Swan Queen. And when I yanked it from the site and rewrote it to be an actual book, it was very heavy, Regina, Emma. Like, I had to, like, go through many times to find the Emmas and the Reginas. It was...
Why didn't you just do control find?
I did, but then I put M, or then there were times like when someone would call her Gina instead of Regina. And so then I was just like, fuck, I gotta go through this with a fine tooth fucking comb. It was... But I just feel like there are so many times when fans get queer baited. Like,
oh, for sure. Just
happens.
Yeah.
And I know at this time in my heart, I feel like people, like the writers, do it on purpose now. It's not, it's not for any other reason than to just make sure
you get like a hard, you get a hardcore following too, right? Because they're holding out hope for the,
like, was that like Supergirl, like Supercourt? And then there's like,
well, Supergirl legitimately,
Plexa, obviously.
Supergirl legitimately has a lesbian couple in it.
Right.
So,
but it's not Supercorp.
No.
Yeah,
it's the her other sister Alex, and then they did hook up on the 100. Yeah. So I mean,
but then she died.
Well, but to be fair to the writers, she left the show because she went to Fear the Walking Dead, like full time. Fear the Walking Dead got picked up, so the girl who plays Alexa, the woman who plays Alexa, left because she was filming full time. I don't think they ever intended to get rid of that arc, but without Alexa, or without Lexa, they couldn't really, and they never really gave her a serious love interest after that. Clark, they never did. They kept it going through the whole thing that was like the love of her life, even though that everyone wanted her to be with Bellamy. Yeah. So I don't know if, I don't think that counts as queer baiting, because she left the show to do something else. And then they brought her back for the final episode.
Why did she leave? I don't...
She got a full-time job. She...
I know, but don't you think that the 100 could have been a full-time job?
Yeah, I just don't think that that's how they had the arc worked out. I think that she, the Fear of the Walking Dead, she was already on that show. And when it got picked up full-time, she was a main character on that show, where she would have always been a secondary character on the 100 because it was about the group of kids that landed. I don't know. I mean, maybe they could have reworked it all together. I also think in the 100, they were really going for Clark's whole, like, her strength was never supposed to come from a couple. It was always supposed to be her own shit that she was overcoming. And like, she was just, that character was never set up that way. So I didn't feel duped in the 100 at all, like at all. I can see where Supergirl, they toe that line a little bit. Rizzoli and Ios toes that line a little bit. Like, there's a bunch of them that I can see where they're queer baiting audiences for sure. I don't think the 100 was one of them.
Yeah.
Personally.
I mean, they did get together. So it's, it technically can't be queer baiting, right?
But they only gave them one episode, though, that they were actually together.
I think more in that case, it was more, I think fans were super upset because they had this lesbian couple and then they killed her.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh, what happened to you?
I don't know. What happened to you? I'm here.
I lost you.
You lost me? I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you obsessed with this week?
So presently, I'm going to be honest and say that I don't really have a huge obsession other than
Swan Queen.
No, I'm not really. No, I'm going to start. I'm going to try to start writing again.
Yes. Love it. Here for it.
I had a very long discussion with Jean Copeland and she was very, very good to talk to in that sense, like about my inability to like myself and all that BS, but it was a good convo. And I think the imposter syndrome is strong within me. So I just need to kind of figure it out.
Good.
But I've been thinking a lot about it, and I really want to try. So
good.
That's really, I've been obsessively thinking about that. I mean, that's really honest. So
good. I have a project for you.
Oh, okay.
The one we've been working on, you asshole.
I meant my other thing.
You should definitely start writing that. I know what you meant.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Lex's best friend has been here all week from Pennsylvania. So that's been fun. We had everyone over. It was crazy because I realized all of our friends are either fully vaccinated or like already have their first shot, so we could actually like get together. So we had everyone over on Sunday, and then we went to Napa yesterday to go wine tasting. And then we went up today out to San Francisco. We went to Muir Woods, and then we had lunch down by the Pacific Ocean and just hung out. And now she leaves tomorrow, but I'm glad she came out and visited. Lex has really missed her family, especially because of the pandemic and not really being able to see anyone. She's felt real isolated here because like she moved here and 2 months later we went into lockdown. So she hasn't even really been able to like make a lot of friends. I mean, she's friends with my friends, but it's not the same thing as like having your own friends and stuff. So, I'm glad Andrew was able to come. We actually, the last 2 days, we took Lincoln to daycare. So it's the first time her and I have gone out without him to do anything in over a year. So it was really fun. And it's just been nice to have a run. I really love Andrea. Lex has a wonderful best friend. So she's really sweet and funny. And Lex is always happier when she's around. So it was nice having her here. I'm going to be sad when she leaves tomorrow. And Thor's doing good. Lex is working on training him to be a therapy dog. So he's gone with us to Napa, and then he went with us to San Francisco today. And he like just sits under our chair and doesn't do anything and doesn't run around. And he's really well behaved. Except when he gets around the other dogs and he loses his fucking mind. So he has like no self-control around the other dogs. But when it's just us, he's like a fucking sweet baby angel. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So that's all that's been going on with me. But
awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Right on.
Everyone, have a great weekend. You only have one more week of just me and Aaron, so
it's fine. We're amazing. It's fine.
Everything's fine. We did not break up with the Stacys. They had other scheduling conflicts that it didn't make sense to change the recording schedule because it's just too much to negotiate with four of us. So we did not break up. They will be back in a few weeks.
We'll be reunited and it'll feel so good.
So good.
So good.
Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
All right. Bye.